Get the lighter from the drawer. Just pass it around. Just light the candle and the incense. Any of them. There are six of them. Okay, yeah. Two more, yeah. There's one incense and the other candle, yeah. Oh, there's one more. Maybe get Pamasuri to light the other one. The incense, yeah. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Get ready, we offer the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Today is the 6th of February, 2019. ikhlas. Okay. Namo Bensi Sejia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sejia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sejia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo.那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿摩婆菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当。比瓦地米索卡托巴嘎瓦塔达摩达曼纳玛萨米苏帕提帕诺巴嘎瓦托萨奥克桑戈桑杭那玛咪 OK You can visit it and turn to page 1 of the Vandana You will chant the salutation、huh?那摩他斯巴嘎瓦托阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯那摩他斯巴嘎瓦托阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯那摩他斯巴嘎瓦托阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯布当萨拉南嘎恰米达曼萨拉南嘎恰米桑杭萨拉南嘎恰米德提安比布当萨拉南嘎恰米Dhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dhatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami Adinadana Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhyami Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhyami Suramiraya Majjhapamadatana Veramani Sikkhapadang SamadhyamiNow we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sena diloka dipang sambudang ujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutenaDopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang Puja bacanamutamang Vanna ganda gonopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami Munindas Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Sumenanena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patiganhatu Mutamang. Now we are chanting puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of likes to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Sharing and transfer merge to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just now, Yun Chan brought the pair for offering. We rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we are off the light. Then you can have your meditation straight away. Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Silent everything. Then let things be. Whatever thought or sankhara that still can arise, let it arise. you have to learn to relax and just maintain awareness. That is the fastest way to meditate. Don't try to do anything. Then you will develop the ability to understand how this mind was originally already the stillness, the silence. Its true nature is already aware. You no need to try to be aware. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So you only need to relax and allow the thought to slow down and finally cease. Then through that silence, you will have the ability to understand many things. The whole of meditation starts from the silent mind. That silent mind without thought is the true mind. But most people cannot understand, cannot realize it. They can't even stop their thinking. This thinking cannot be suppressed or controlled. No amount of control and suppress can make the thought cease. Thought has to be understood. Then when you let it be, if there is no more attachment, clinging, grasping, craving, or trying to do anything, which means you don't feed that thought energy with any more mental thinking. And through that process, it will slow down by itself. Then finally, you can realize the silent mind, which is your meditative mind, the true mind. And you need to stabilize this silent mind so that you can go deeper into the meditation, so that finally your mind enters sati. Then this mind that is in sati is very sensitive, very mindful. It can feel many things, it can understand many things. So that is the basis of meditation. So I hope by now you understand. But for those who still want to decondition their heedless thinking, to make themselves peaceful and calm, to temporarily overcome the mental hindrance, you can use the mind sweeping method. Follow with whatever loving kindness or metta energy that can help you bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being. You can use them. Otherwise, you straight away go into your silent mind to develop the meditation. Okay, I will now off the mic so that you can develop the meditation. Okay. those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those that have been up, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipeso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu anutaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Samichipatipanno bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho. Yadidāṁ chattāri purisa yukkāni Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato Sāvaka Sāṅgho. Āhuneyo pāhuneyo Dākkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anutarang punya ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Vedang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax yourself, and maintain some more attention. Then we can continue with our second session. Actually, second session is supposed to be our Dhamma discussion on this book, the Buddha and his teaching. We finished chapter 12, so we are at chapter 13, page 226. But we forgot to nominate somebody. So last week, after Hui Rong finished chapter 12, we are supposed to nominate somebody. So now we will do it tonight. Who wants to volunteer for the chapter 13 sharing? We supposed to go around. Who haven't done it yet? Anybody hasn't done it? I think most of them have done it. Most of them have done it. Okay, never mind. We later on only decide. Okay, now what I will do is there are some short notes that I want to share with you all. We go through some of these short notes, then it will help you to understand better. I have here with me the 25th January 2018, Thursday class short notes. I will read through, then you all listen. Yeah, this one I didn't photostat, so you have to get it from the website. It's in our website. You can go back and just download it, then read through. 25th January 2018, Thursday class short notes. Brother Teo stressed the importance of puja, the Buddhist devotional practice, to help develop the faith leading to the calm and composed mind. So puja is very important. Besides, if puja is done with understanding, the merits are immeasurable. So this part is very important. And Brother Teo also explained the significance of all the various types of puja offerings offered. So as per our chanting book, you can read through the significance of all these puja offerings. They are all explained very clearly there. Then their significance and meaning are also stated on page 5 of puja chanting book. Offering of flower is to help us see the impermanent nature of our physical body, thereby reminding us of the urgency in cultivation to help us progress along the path of Dhamma. So all these are very important understanding. Then as Buddhists, we are very fortunate to have the Buddha as our teacher, because he is the wisest and the most virtuous human being ever born during his time, about 2600 years ago. So this aspect of the Buddha is something that you must develop through clear understanding, so that you understand how unique and special the Buddha is, and why we Buddhists are indeed so fortunate, because he is a very unique being. You can't find another being who has of equal quality wisdom and understanding as the Buddha. And because of that, his teaching has great potential to transform and improve living beings' life, with the understanding and wisdom developed through cultivating his teaching. We will not suffer anymore, because we can have the understanding to live the good life with a calm and peaceful mind. As we continue to cultivate, we can even awaken to the universal truth that are inherent within nature. Everything that arises exhibit these three powerful universal characteristics. They are impermanence, for everything is in a state of flux, followed by non-self and suffering state, which are inherent in all things. So if we attach to any phenomena in this world, we are wanting things our way, suffering will be the result. Then there are five nature's law or orders that governs all of life and existence in this entire universe. The first two are scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. The next two are spiritual law, namely the law of karma, the law of mind, and the law of Dhamma or truth. If we understand this law, we will understand how to live the spiritual life well. Then life becomes beautiful because suffering will cease to be. As we cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, we will come to understand that living being has two minds. This one is very important. Eh? What are the two minds? Can you recall? First is the what mind? Mundane mind. What is this mundane mind? Your normal mind, which thinks a lot, which can make you conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this is the condition arising mind, because dependent on condition it arises. So this mundane mind is also called the worldly mind, the thinking mind, the condition arising mind. And this is not your true mind. So this is the Buddha's very important understanding. He said this thinking mind or mundane mind basically is only consciousness and its content, which we all call the thought. And thought is the basis of human beings' life. That's why the mundane mind, the thinking mind, they are the one that make you conscious of life, conscious of the phenomenal world. But through delusion, you grasp and cling at them, thinking that they are real. And the Buddha, through his meditation, see clearly that this mind is not the true mind, where it is impermanent, lead to suffering when you deludedly grasp, cling at, attach and hold. And because it's impermanent, that's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, it can own things. All this can be mine. There is no such thing. This is self-delusion, ignorant. Then the other mind is the true mind. And what is the true mind? You have to understand. The true mind is just awareness. The original state of mind before the stirring, before the arising of thought, before the thinking take place, before the perception, before the mental activity and the stirring. So this mind, when it's just aware, without any movement, without any mental state or thinking, it is just pure awareness. And this is your true mind. So when the mundane mind ceases to be, there is clarity. There is this awareness within. And because it's just awareness, it's without thought. Without thought means without like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Without mental activity means no restlessness, no duality, no word, no concept, nothing. That's why it's just stillness, silent, just aware. Then because it is silent, still, and just aware, there is calmness within, there is peace within, there is joy within, there is no restlessness, no fear, no anxiety, no worry, none of all this. And because it doesn't project any thought, that's why there is no movement of thought. And when there is no movement of thought, there is no emotion, there is no fear, nothing. That's why you have to understand these two aspects of mind that every living being has. You cannot understand these two aspects, you cannot meditate. Because to meditate is to recognize the mundane mind as the false one, the impermanent mind. The mind that is always dependent, originating, condition arising with all the content of consciousness, which are mainly your views, opinion, and your conditioning, your fear, your scars of memory, your phobia, and all those things that you accumulate in your brain. So when you meditate and you start to understand all this, then you can go beyond this mind. This mind has got no more power over you. Then you will come to the great understanding that this is karmically conditioned out for you to come to this world. It is for you to use. It is your tool. And then you must learn to use it. Then you will come to understand that the user of this mundane mind is very important. If the user is deluded, not enlightened, this mind will arise the wrong thought that will condition the wrong speech, wrong action, and cause your downfall. If the user of thought has wisdom, then thought become good thought, right thought, wholesome thought. And thought has its power. When the user of thought is wholesome, thought become wholesome, thought become beautiful. Then thought can help bring about good karma, good condition for the good life. It bring about love, compassion, harmony. This is how the cultivation develops when we understand how to use the true mind. And the true mind leads to heedfulness, whereas the mundane mind is heedless, think a lot, deluded. Self-delusion creates the mental hindrance, the evil roots, makes the mind evil, root of all evil. That's how living beings fail to understand and fail to develop the right view, the right understanding to live the noble life. That's how they fall. That's how they get themselves entangled and afflicted with life. So these are all very important understanding. So when you understand that you have these two minds, you will have to develop the understanding of it to truly penetrate the mundane mind so that you can realize the true mind. Okay, we will then read on. As we cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, we will come to understand that living being has two minds, the mundane mind and the true mind. If the user of thought or the mundane mind is evil or deluded, then thoughts become evil. Evil leads to karmic downfall. Hence, we should take care of karma and not blame people for whatever that happened to us. So this is the most important. Then Retio emphasized on the importance of taking care of the body too. But one should not be attached to it. Instead, take good care of it so that it can serve you longer. Retio also quoted his teacher's famous advice. He said, if the body can talk, it will say to you, O Master, harm me not. For I am only tissue and cells. Have me work for you, for the good of yourself and the many, before I am too old, too sick, too weak, and too fragile to do anything for you. Hence, we should see the urgency in cultivating the urgency to cultivate diligently before the body gets too old and sick for us to do so. Then the next item is the theory related certain experiences regarding the Dhamma that unfolds. We are showing us important signs that can help us realize that we should just accord and flow with conditions that arise and let nature take its course. What is meant to be will be. On the contrary, what is not meant to be will not be. So whatever that happens, we should learn to accept, accord and flow with it. To bring about change, we need to introduce the appropriate new condition from moment to moment via wisdom. After the meditation session, Brother Eric reported that he had a lot of thought and his friend Kok Lun fell sleepy. Brother Teo explained the reason why these mental hindrances arose, thus preventing their mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. Understand that the thoughts are your servant and they are there to serve you. The moment we labor, we are the thought. Whatever mind state that arises, we are giving them more energy. Instead, we should not fight or suppress them or try to control them, but just be aware and remain silent within. Relax into whatever mind state that arises. When there is no more negativity towards any sensation, the hindrance will subside and cease on their own. Sleepiness can also arise when we don't understand the importance of meditation, or sometimes the body is tired. Sensual desire and ill will are common mental hindrances among new meditators because the tendency to react via habitual tendency of likes and dislikes is very dominant throughout the day. Hence, the mind cannot be silent, but becomes agitated and restless due to the constant stirring of the mind, the thought projection during every moment of sense experience. Then doubt will arise too. When we don't understand the importance of this type of meditation, we will lack virya or the spiritual zeal to meditate. Then we may feel sleepy because we are tired. Living beings who are heedless and have not trained their mind will have these mental hindrances. To overcome them, we only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. We can meditate better if we are relaxed and silent within. Then there is no need to do anything, because when we do not suppress or control or create mental hindrance of like and dislike, we are stirring our mind. Eventually, awareness or sati, which is a spiritual faculty, will arise by itself, because no more mental hindrance to hinder your mind. When we give thought energy to anything, it will create more and more craving. We are thinking the wrong thought for us to get drawn into it. The very flowering of thought is the very ending of thought. So if we don't feed it with any more thought energy, it will end on its own. We are returning to its original state before the stirring. So this aspect is very important. When you understand this, you know how to meditate. So meditation is not about doing anymore. Just relax, aware, silent, and let things be. As we continue to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, our mind becomes more and more quiet without thought and still within. This is supposed to be the result when you meditate. You cannot get this means you are not doing it correctly. You are using the thought-based meditation, actively trying to meditate, actively noting, thinking, doing. That is thought-based, not the correct meditation. So this part, I will repeat. As we continue to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, our mind will become more and more quiet without thought. This is the best check. and still within, we can then carry this trained mind state and use it to live life more heedfully in the midst of life. A mind that is collected and unwavering does not get drawn into situations that arise in life. This mind is in samadhi. This is mind in samadhi. Without samadhi, one can be drawn into life situation which afflicts most human beings. Through memory, most people will recall their phobia, unhappiness, unhappy experiences of life, especially their scars of memory. However, memory should be used properly to serve us instead of using them to store our psychological memories like our phobia, scars of memory, fear, etc. that can torment us via arising those associated wrong thoughts, because thoughts are response to those memories. We are the user of thought, so why do we allow thought to torment us and cause us so much suffering? Instead, we should learn to recognize them as wrong thought. Wrong thoughts are thought that condition our fear, our worry, anxiety, sorrow, sadness, and lamentation, etc. We should reflect on Bhayankati's four lines of questioning or approach to thought. The turnaround question are, how would you be if you believe this wrong thought? And how would you be if you don't believe this wrong thought? So all this will turn you around. If you believe that wrong thought, like what most people went through, you will entangle yourself, become very depressed, very unhappy. And you know that these are the thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. These are thoughts that are unfit for attention. These are wrong thoughts. So don't think about it that way. You don't believe this thought. You realize that you become peaceful. You become normal. So what are thoughts that are fit for attention? They are the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha Dhamma, the Essential Dhamma. So you should constantly reflect on the Four Noble Truths. This is suffering. These are the cause of suffering. Suffering need not be enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Then there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Then you have the first turning, second turning, and the third turning. So all this will lead to wisdom, understanding. And these are all right thoughts, thoughts that are fit for attention. When you reflect, contemplate, inquire, and think on this thought, you will develop wisdom, understanding, joy. Your mind will attain to peace. Your karmic nature will flourish, become beautiful. So all these are very important understanding. So inquiry, contemplation, reflection are very important. And understand the Noble Eightfold Path clearly. What constitutes right view? Right view with regards to the three spiritual laws. Law of karma, law of mind, and law of dhamma. Then what constitutes right thought? What constitutes wrong thought? Right speech, wrong speech. Right action and wrong action. They are all deeply connected to the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. To the karma. To the precepts. So all this, as you develop more and more understanding and clarity, you will progress along the path of Dhamma very beautifully. You will understand things differently, and your cultivation become very, very straight. You won't debate anymore, because these are so easy to understand and it's so clear. You only need to silence your mind, reflect, develop the clear understanding. Okay, then we move on. Number 9. What is thought? You listen. Thought is response to memory. It is just consciousness arising and passing away. So why has it so much power over us? It is because we have given meaning to thought and project them into the future or recall the past through memory to arise the wrong thought. We should learn to be like the computer which uses RAM or random access memory. When memory is needed, only we access it. Otherwise, leave it there. Don't be sentimental or emotion with thought, especially those wrong thoughts born of psychological memories. Hence, memory is for us to use to remember all the important things. There is no need to accumulate our skulls of memory. We should have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When we have the faith and the virya to develop the stability of mindfulness, we will be more sensitive and we will know how to arise the right thought. Thought of kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, respect, gratitude, generosity, contentment, love and compassion, etc., leading to a lot of joy, peace, clarity and serenity within our hearts. We will experience a lot of good positive energy inside us. We hold the key to our own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely our choice. Hence, choose wisely. When we understand the teaching, we will know how to arise the right view leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, and the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor to live life well and to overcome all of the eight realities of life and existence. Then number 10 is, without the Dhamma, we can become like cuckoo, especially in today's fast-paced society. The Buddha's teaching is evergreen despite the era we are in now. We can have a mind with clarity to develop the cultivation until we realize the true mind to arise the wisdom, so as not to be deceived by the phenomenal world. We should not blame technology, but instead be a good user of technology instead. Just like Jack Ma, who has used technology wisely, we can also apply the Noble Eightfold Path and use technology to bring benefits to life in today's world of virtual business or e-commerce. There is nothing wrong in technology to bring benefits. There is nothing wrong in keeping abreast with technology. If we have the ability to accord and flow with whatever that arises, we will not have any problem. Then number 11, the spiritual faculties are actually in a way similar to mundane common sense when it comes to living life. In life, when we are confident, we used to hear people say how the battle is won. With confidence and diligence, one can climb the ladder of success. To have sati and mindfulness is to have the clarity of mind to see things clearly and make better decisions in life. Then samadhi is equivalent to a very strong and stable mind that can allow us to achieve our goal with great success. Then wisdom is the understanding part. If the mind is trained, it will listen to you. It is just like a trained dog. The thought will listen to us if we know how to make friends with it. However, if we believe the wrong thought, we end up suffering via our own delusion. The teaching is very simple and beautiful. If we can have an open mind to listen attentively, we will benefit from his great teaching. It will help change and improve your life for the better. We should always remember the Buddha's advice. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So we should strive on with heedfulness, because heedfulness is the path to the deathless. As we cultivate more wholesomeness and merits via our cultivation, We can also invoke power of marriage to make noble aspirations, following nature's law to help us progress along the path of Dhamma, and also help us in our spiritual journey. So this is a short note, the draft were prepared by Puan Chi. This was the session held on the 25th of January, 2018, which is about 2 weeks ago. Okay, do you have any question? You have any question, you can put up your hand. We will pass you the mic. Anybody got anything to ask or anything to add based on what we have discussed? Again, very quiet. I was told by Adeline, recently Yun Chan, Mimi, they all, I think six of them, went to Rayong. They just came back. But today Mimi not around. Where is she? So anybody want to share? Yun Chan? Get the mic. Pass it to Yun Chan. Then after that, maybe Adeline. You can also tell us the story that Mimi tell you all.
Not much. I've been so many rounds already.
I just share with us whatever you experience.
Trying to continue, get the mindfulness to be more continuous. So it helped. The breathing helped. This time round is cool.
Oh, the weather is better, much better.
Yeah, especially evenings and mornings.
Yeah, last time was a bit humid.
Humid, wet.
Yeah.
So it's very pleasant.
End of the year and beginning of the year, the weather is really good.
So it was very pleasant.
How many days you over there?
9 days.
That's long enough. So your routine is what? What are your routine every day?
Morning chanting at
5 a.m.
5 a.m. chanting.
Okay.
Then we go and help. We sit for a short while, about 20 minutes. We go and help the...
In the kitchen.
We have a great big problem because... Oh, this time not so bad. It is... the lady speaks Teochew only.
Oh, but you know Teochew?
Don't know.
You don't know Teochew.
So those who know Hokkien, they manage to
communicate with her.
Understand a little bit of the what she's asking us to do.
Okay.
So she's very happy that we are there to help. To help out to prepare the fruits and veggies. Then after that, we go to we go and take our breakfast ourselves, and then like something light, and then after that, relax a bit, and then they have a second chanting for those donors.
Those who make offering.
We were doing Pindabad.
The
first 2 days we did Pindabad. Because the monks go off to Pindabad. I noticed that the when Ajahn Anand comes down, the people doing dana are very happy. They were so happy. Ajahn, and very excited.
Yeah, because most devotees look forward to see him. He is so famous. And he has a lot of metta. He has a lot of good vibration. So those who have faith in him, naturally they have joy. So cultivation is just this way. The spiritual faculty is very important. When you have faith in your teacher, in the Buddha's teaching, you will have the same joy. That's why you don't need to just see somebody to have that joy. Of course, your teacher will help you a lot. You have faith in him. But when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, it's even greater joy. So joy is just the moment you understand. The spiritual faculty is just that moment. Understand? Because most of us, I realize, cultivator, you take for granted. Every time when I emphasize the importance of faith, faith in what? In the Buddha and his teaching, and in your teacher and those who have helped you develop the understanding and the cultivation, of course this faith can lead to progress. Faith is a great spiritual faculty. Without faith, nothing arises. But because of faith, spiritual understanding can just come in. And that faith is very useful, very important. So you have to learn to develop that faith. Not only when you meet your teacher or see somebody you have confidence in. The Buddha is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. The Buddha nature is everywhere. You have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Every moment that faith, that joy is there. So when you understand, your practice becomes very different. That's why during the early day, I remember when I was cultivating, my faith was so strong, I got no doubt. The moment I saw this Four Noble Truth teaching in 1971, there is no turning back. The nature just knows this is so important, so beautiful. Nobody can summarize all of life, both the mundane and supramundane, into just Four Noble Truth. That's why after this nature realized that, straight away, it go all out to understand this teaching. Yeah, continue, Inchan. Yeah, you bring out a very good point about faith. They feel joy.
Joy
and happy.
I think they have a lot of faith.
Yeah. Otherwise, they cannot have that type of response.
Then we... they have a second round of chanting for all these donors. And we then we will go off to take our meal. I think the first day Ajahn asked us to meditate at 10 o'clock. It was terrible. 10 a.m. because we are so tired, waking up at 4:30. So I was fishing the whole time.
So next time when you are fishing or you are tired, what you must do? What must you do actually? If you know that your body is tired,
walk.
You can choose to do that, but the best way is to lie down, relax, silent. Or if you really think that you are tired, go back to your room, then have a good sleep, then only come out. It's better that way. Because when your body needs rest, you must rest. Like you say, you were very tired. But sometimes you are at people's way place, you also have to be sensitive. That's the reason why I say you have to feel yourself. If you feel that you are very tired, you just excuse yourself. And if you want to be like courteous or what, you just talk to Ajahn Anand, say, I need to go back to rest. Then he will be okay, he will let you go, no problem.
No, he wasn't around.
He wasn't around, then you just go, you don't have to worry. Then you don't force yourself to endure all those.
The next day we didn't do any meditation at 10. We went back to our bath and went to sleep.
No, you should have a good rest. Well, the body needs rest. Like just now I mentioned, we should develop the understanding to take care of this body. Even though it's non-self, not you. But you need this body because it's chemically conditioned for you to use it, to come to this world. You need it. You need its support. Like my teacher's first instruction to me, you listen, this one, long time ago I shared this. Ajahn Yantra, the Thai monk, he was my real first Theravada, real teacher. He said, body is just a body. Mind is mind. M-I-N-D. M-I-N-D is M-I-N-D. So body is just a body. Mind is mind. Mind is never the body. Body is never the mind. Do you understand this? These two are separate. Then he said, we choose take care mind. Remember this. He said, because mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is most important. But he said, we have to take care of the body too. For the body and mind must harmonize. You must listen to this. It must harmonize. Because you don't have a proper body. A body that is healthy, fit, that can support your meditation, that can support you to sustain your life, to live life, to do what you want to do. You cannot progress along the path of Dhamma. You cannot make use of this body to serve you, to live the proper life. So this body is like a car. You need to take care. You need to maintain. You cannot abuse it. You cannot overuse it. Then it will last you longer. It will be subject to wear and tear. That's why you have to take care. You cannot abuse it. You cannot simply eat things that harms the body. You cannot drink intoxicant or drugs and make your body miserable. Then you cannot, through anger, hatred, stress yourself out, harm yourself to thinking the wrong thought and all those things. So these are the various understanding that you need. If you know how to take care of this body, the body will serve you well. It's just like you take care of your car. You maintain it very well. It will serve you longer. It will run properly. You don't overwork it. You don't overstress it. Then you maintain it well. It's just like servicing. Then tire maintenance and whatever. Then the type of petrol you put inside. Then the pollutant that come out. Then from the sound, the vibration, you know whether this car is in proper condition or not. When it start to wobble and give you strange, funny sound, you know something is not right. You need to send it for inspection or checking. Your body too, you have to do the same. If you have mindfulness, you are sensitive. The slightest discomfort or improper movement, activity within, you will know something is not right. That's why you need to see a doctor. You see a doctor. You need to see the physician. You see the physician. Then you need medication. You should take. Then if you know that you can make use of meditation to recover this body, you should meditate to allow it to recover. To allow it to recover is very easy. Silence your mind. Relax into it. And allow it to have the calm state of mind, so that inner peace, inner calmness, inner stillness will recharge your body. It will like recuperate your tired body, and you will heal, you will recover. But certain type of sickness or disease, you have to see a doctor. Means you have to see a doctor, because it's something major inside there where the normal mind cannot do much. So sometimes it's DNA, sometimes it's food, sometimes it's lack of exercise or whatever. So you have to find out. Everyone is different. So this aspect of taking care of body is very important. And tonight we are very lucky we have the condition to go into this. Okay, very good. You just continue. What else?
After that, we do our own practice. We do our own sitting. So by Adeline came, she cracked her toe. That lady was very nice. She sent us all up, so we know how to walk up.
Very good.
So we went.
That's like good parami. That day at Alicia's house, Dana, she told us.
We thank her for her broken toe.
At first, she thought coming obstruction, she cannot go. Then somehow, finally, I think encouraged by the daughter and the husband, she still went. Very good.
The first evening we went there, then we realized all of us bananas cannot chant. So all cannot chant.
It's Thai chanting, huh?
No, we're supposed to chant at the Kuan Yin Hall.
Not they are chanting la. No. Oh, okay. That's the reason why next time you must get one or two, not so banana one.
Luckily Adeline downloaded
from your handphone.
She downloaded and then she played.
But
we all also
help.
Not very good. So Mimi got the message. All of us have to learn how to chant the Heart Sutra.
I thought Mimi know how to chant. What?
None of us know how to chant.
Mimi also don't know. I thought she know.
Doesn't know.
Oh, okay. Next time you get Stephanie there or Papa Suri there.
Everyone said, "Yo, this time round all don't know how to chant."
Yeah, you should have it downloaded into your handphone.
She downloaded in the phone, and then she played.
You just Google lah.
We just played the tune and
Then you chant.
I brought the chanting books there.
At the back got the wording.
Very
good.
So we used that, and then we couldn't do the great compassionate mantra. I don't know. The tune was very funny.
One you must get Brother Song.
So then we did the Sanskrit version. The Sanskrit version.
The one that Joyce used to chant.
We downloaded and then did Om Mani Padme
Hum. Then at night you all got group chanting. Meditation? Chanting only, no group meditation.
Good. The Kuan Yin Hall, very good.
No, got group meditation or not?
Last time I heard,
you all have this at night, group meditation with the monks.
The monks. After that, we went chanting.
On your own?
With the monks, 7 o'clock they have chanting. And
then
meditation.
Your own Heart Sutra chanting was before that or after
before
that?
Before
that. Okay.
And then we went. We didn't want to follow a Singapore group. They had a retreat. They had a retreat. We went earlier. And they have fixed
schedule.
So I wanted to go to the Kuan Yin Hall. You follow them means you cannot do our own.
Didn't
join them.
Good. Sadhu.
They grouped together at the base. And then they walked up together. All together, the walking meditation all the way up.
Means they walk mindfully.
With two monks leading. We already had gone up by car.
So you all were lucky, because Adeline's leg got problem.
No, but it's quite nice exercise. After that, only Adeline sat in the car. We went. Not because the lady comes a bit late,
So you all have to move.
We want to go up earlier, so at least we can sit there.
Good.
The hall. Then if we went to the Shrine Hall, it was still it was very good. Then the Achyananan has Q&A every night, almost every night. Then we went again into the Kuan Yin Hall. And he asked us to do another half hour meditation. After that, he asked us to do 1 hour of meditation. We keep doing meditation.
So did he have any discussion with your Q&A session?
He gave a talk. He mentioned about this. About the meditation. His talk was, he said our purpose of training is to get into stillness and eventually into emptiness.
So that is what meditation is all about.
The training.
Stillness is the silent mind. Then when you can stabilize it until you're very, very quiet, it enters tranquility, stillness. That is paucity. Then when you are in the state of paucity, it's an enlightenment factor. If you continue to observe with that silent mind, you can realize the truth. That's how you realize emptiness. That's what enlightenment is all about. So maybe he didn't elaborate.
Then he said that we have to, get sati. Sati sampajana. So that we can see truths. And we have to use metta to overcome anger.
Means think of the direct opposite wholesome thought.
He said that when we do chanting, it's also to develop mindfulness. We have no thinking at that time. So of course walking will be mindful on the feet movement.
Oh, he told you that?
Okay. But they use budo,
budo is to keep them with the Buddha's name. To develop the faith. Buddha is just to develop the mindfulness of that word. Buddha is like the Mayana chanting. That's why when you chant until no one is chanting, means it's just mindful, aware. That's the reason why he told you chanting is to develop mindfulness.
He said it's to establish the mindfulness until you're not even distracted by other sense objects.
That's why specific phenomenal awareness, the thought doesn't come in. That continuous mindfulness is what awareness is all about. The thought never come in. That's why he said cut off from all sense object. That is the stability of mindfulness. You cannot develop that stability, you will be entangled. You will get yourself involved. Means your thinking mind, your mundane mind is still active. You are not with your true mind. The other one is spacious awareness without a center. But to do that, your mindfulness has to be very stable. You are most of the time silent without thought.
So he also said we should recollect all our wholesome actions. So to make our mind more still and peaceful. And recommend us to continue with our 8 precepts. Even after that.
Because precept is very important. Like the Buddha said, precept is the source of what? Happiness. Then spiritual wealth. Then peacefulness of mind. So you don't keep your precept, you cannot have joy, you cannot have peacefulness of mind, you cannot have the spiritual wealth. That's why after the chanting, the monk every time remind the practitioner or the devotee, Silena sukantinyanti, Silena boga sampadan, Silena nibuntinyanti. So these three you have to understand. Precept is the source of sukang. Happiness. So silena sukantin yanti. So when you have sila, your mind state are more restrained. You don't simply do things because you undertake the training rule to observe your precept, not to violate them. So you will develop mindfulness. And when you are mindful, you don't break your precept, you got less trouble. You got less karmic negativity. You got less of the friction. That's why without sila, your mind cannot settle down. Your mind cannot develop the inner peace, the inner mindfulness, the inner joy. So without sila, samadhi cannot kick in. You need sila. Yeah. So you can have peacefulness of mind, because when you don't break precept, you don't violate the nature's law, you don't violate society's law, you will have less problem. Your mind will not have problem related to breaking of precepts, coming negativity and all those things. Then you don't have even coming obstruction to come and haunt you. Then as you chant, you develop the faith, the spiritual faculty, and that will allow you to develop the virya. Then at the same time, the sati. And when sati stabilizes, your mind enters samadhi. Yeah. That's how sila leads to samadhi. Then samadhi leads to wisdom. So the emphasis is precepts. Precept is very important. You cannot ignore precept. And precept, to keep them, you have to be ever mindful. Not only ever mindful, you need to reflect and contemplate what constitutes evil. Whenever there is this evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, you have the tendency to break precept. That's why whatever mind state that arises, if you are mindful, sensitive, you will know. If there is selfishness behind, you are going to break your precept. Because this selfishness is a self-delusion that will condition your desire, your craving, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your emotional negativity. So all this evil root will surface, and it will condition you to become emotional. And it can make you break your precept, to arise a wrong speech, and the wrong action. When you are angry, emotional, you can become violent, you can do a lot of things that is not proper. Then when greed is there, you can become deceitful, you can lie, you can cheat. Then you can commit sexual misconduct when you have lust. So all these are related to precepts. And keeping precepts is not what you think. You think by chanting Panatipata Viramanisika Padang Samadhi Yami, I renew my precept already. Finish. No. That is to remind you that you have to train your mind, because you undertake that training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living being. How to take that training rule? Means you have to train your mind to be mindful, to see your mental intention when you want to kill, when you want to harm. It's always the evil root behind. Who will kill and harm? Violent people, selfish people, deluded people. All the evil roots are there. Otherwise you won't kill, you won't harm. Otherwise there is just love. You cannot do all those things. Then who will steal? Who will take things that don't belong to them? Selfish people, greedy people, foolish people, deluded people. So all these people who break precept have the evil root behind. So that's why the advice is all very good, if you understand. Very good. Sadhu, you take down a lot of important notes, Yunchan. Sadhu.
I have to thank Adeline again.
Oh, because Sadhu.
Because the first day we went up, no thighs went up there, no, she had to walk down.
Oh, okay.
So, her foot got a bit more injured.
Oh, okay.
So the second night, we don't do the Q&A. I told her, don't do it. You follow the Meiji down to go down.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Said, never mind. Achan gave a talk, so I recorded it
down
for her.
Oh, okay, very good.
Otherwise, I won't record.
Very good, very good.
So, I recorded, had that recorded.
So you re-listened to the recording?
No. When he was talking, I just wrote down.
Oh, okay. But you're recording?
No, I didn't record.
Oh, you didn't record.
I physically
Okay. You take notes,
la.
You take notes. Very good. There's a translator.
Yeah. Prak Larry came, and so he was a translator. Later on, he went off to Chiang Mai. We went to this Chiang Mai, that's Long Po Plien.
Long Po Plien.
He's very sick, and they said he's about to
that
die.
That time we went, he already very sick.
No, this time was cancer. They said they estimate he's going to die already, so I don't know whether he has died or not. He was very sick, so they went. I think a few of them went to see him.
He was quite elderly. He was already quite elderly.
70s, I think.
Late 70s. By now, maybe 80. Just that time was many years back. At least 4 years back.
They had one. Some of the other Caucasian monks. Western monk. So the pronunciation not that good. So I was trying very hard.
Sometimes their Thai also not so good.
I think their Thai is
not so good.
But the pronunciation wasn't very clear.
Correct. Yes. So you need to have those.
The good
translator. They must understand the Dhamma and the Thai language. Otherwise, not easy. The best is to get from Achan Cha Monastery, Nana Cha. Those monks, their Thai are very good. And their English is inborn. They are English. So they can actually translate very well.
When Achan came here, he had a translator. Yeah. That's Prak Larry. He came back this time.
Very good. Yeah.
So he came back.
He is used to Achan Anand's talk. So that's why he can translate it very well. There is also another Thai who, I think, he studied in Australia. I think there was 1 year, I forgot what year already, when I was there. We went with this Achan Achalo, I think. Then he took us to meet up with Achan Anand. So that Thai who studied in Australia, his English was good. So he did a very good translation at that time.
He must be Prak Larry. Prak Larry is in
Sydney. He's a Thai.
He's a Thai.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah, your name is Larry. Quite low. must be Prak Larry.
He's a Thai. And
he's very familiar with Achan Anand's
He's taking care of the temple of the monastery in Sydney.
No wonder.
That's why he especially went back.
Must be the same person. Must be the same person. Very good. Sadhu. You have him, Miss. He can translate very well. Very good. Sadhu. So, anything else?
I was surprised we had a Brazilian girl who joined us.
Oh, sadhu.
Young girl. And she came all the way.
From Brazil?
From Barcelona. She actually went to study in
Spain. Barcelona.
And then she was recommended, and she alone she came all the way there.
Wow, this one must have parami from the past.
Another one was an Israeli girl, lady.
Israel.
He said got no temple there.
Israel got church, no temple.
He said she only knows the two monks down there.
Oh, okay.
She
also came all the way. See, people from other nationality, they come all the way. We are so near. we take for granted. And you have Dhamma actually everywhere in Malaysia. You're very lucky. Then Thailand is not far. China is not far. So actually, if you have the faith, you can benefit from all this because of our culture, our close approach, what they call close proximity with all these places where Buddhism is still very strong. Very good. Sadhu. So, anything else? That's all. Then pass to Adeline. So, we all should thank Sister Yun Chan for the good sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ah, Adeline, now your turn. You can tell us Mimi's story also. Oh, okay. Whatever you know, you just share.
Little bit dramas.
I can hear from here.
We left on Wednesday
morning,
afternoon. Yeah. Then only Monday night, the doctor confirmed that
your leg
won't actually crack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is taking quite a big risk.
And we have to walk, because from the previous retreat, you know, my experience is we have to walk up and downhill, you know. I don't know whether my body can take that or not. But I have a very clear objective of going for this retreat is to stabilize my daily mindfulness. To prepare for the Cameron retreat.
That is really helpful.
At home here, it's like difficult to follow.
Not easy. Because you have your duty, your worldly duty, your household activity.
Knowing very well this, our self retreat.
Yes.
So we can adjust.
You are more in control of whatever you want to do.
So and it turned out to be a beautiful, fruitful retreat. Yeah.
Sadhu. Very good.
Lots of dharma learned during the sittings. Full of gratitude, of course, for the caring, especially Sister Yun Chan, cares. Ajahn Anand's help. He even one day I was sitting there, afternoon. Pat Riley came and said, "Hey, are you the girl with the leg injury?"
Yeah,
asked me to go. Ajahn Anand want to speak to me.
Oh,
he asked me, "Do you want to go and see doctor? You want to go for X-ray?"
Oh, okay.
I said, "I'm okay. Actually, I can accept it at peace." Then I tell him I can accept it, no problem. Then he said he arranged transport for me to come down every night. Said I should attend the Q&A session.
Yeah, sadhu.
Speechless. Only full of gratitude.
Yet you are like very honored because the monk show their concern.
No complacent. Gratitude.
Correct.
Yeah, very good.
Yes. Sadhu. Very good.
During this retreat, I learned that very blissful, very little thoughts.
Sadhu.
Sometimes there's some unwholesome thoughts came.
You are aware.
I'm aware. So after that, every evening at the Kuan Yin Hall, I ask for forgiveness.
Wow, sadhu. Very good.
For all the unwholesome thoughts.
That you have a reason.
That helps a lot.
Definitely, it will help you a lot because that shows your understanding and your love. Because whenever we arise negative thought, we actually pollute the consciousness, the totality of consciousness, even very small. Not necessarily translate into karmic because you are not harming people or hurting people. But it is the understanding that when you arise any unwholesome thought, you are polluting the environment, the consciousness around you. So that itself can bring about negativity to the totality of consciousness. But most of the time you have right thought, beautiful thought. Like you say, you have a lot of joy, a lot of calmness, a lot of peacefulness, stillness, because you hardly have any thought. So that is the positive aspect which greatly overwhelms whatever little wrong thought or negative thought that arise. So you don't have to worry. Some of these are habitual tendency. You will come to know them. That this habitual tendency is a tendency that you have developed over a period of time. So as you develop the meditation, as you are more aware, you will know how to abandon them. Then you will also know how to root them out. Because the moment you understand it ceases to be, you know these are thoughts that are unfit for attention, then you go back to your mindfulness, and then it will stabilize. Then every time it comes, it's just like meditation, you let it be. Do not fear it, do not fight it, do not suppress it, do not do anything. Just know that these are random of habitual tendencies that are still there. So you just let it arise. Aware, gone. Just aware, gone. Don't try to do anything. Then slowly, slowly, all this over a short period of continuity of mindfulness, you realize one day it cannot arise anymore. All these are rooted out. Then whatever that arises is just the pure thought. Pure thought. Without negativity, without evil root. It's just all the time this way. You always think for others. No more the egoic self. No more for me or not for me. All those things slowly, slowly it fade away. Then you will start to accord and flow. You will know good condition, you do. No condition, let things be. You don't select based on relationship, based on people whom you have preference or what. No more. You look at condition. When condition is there, you will just manifest to help, to arise the right thought. Condition not there, even good friend, loved one, you still cannot do anything because there is no condition to help. Understand? All this will come later as you develop the ability to develop clear understanding. Then all these habitual tendencies, slowly, slowly, they will be rooted out and just fade away. And the mind become different. That's why the enlightened being's mind is very different. It's no longer like before. It has transformed. From a heedless thinking, habitual mind, it has transformed into a pure, beautiful mind. And this mind has a lot of clarity, a lot of mindfulness, awareness, stillness, silence, ever mindful. So all these are so different from the agitated thinking, restless mind, heedless thinking mind. So different. The mind that every time reacts to unhappy, not peaceful, full of agitation, small thing can disturb you. Then it keep on having the worry, the anxiety, the unhappy side. This is what mundane mind is all about. This is what the heedless thinking mind is all about. The deluded one has this tendency, and throughout the day they exhibit it without them realizing it. That's why the moment you cultivate, your mind transforms, you become so different. Okay, continue, Adeline. Very good. Sadhu, I rejoice.
And also, radiating metta helps a lot. I realize that helps to lower down the ego and lower down the ego.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Where it will cut away the ego. Yeah, that is just love. It's just giving. You wish well-being and happiness to all beings. It's no more about yourself. It's just love. And love got no opposite. No envy, no jealousy, no unhappiness. It's just love. Then there is this well-being and happiness. It's just radiate. That's why when you really have metta, it comes from your heart. It's so different. That every consciousness that you arise is just that love. It's just like one of the authors, he put it so beautifully, is it? Whatever I see with the consciousness of love. Whatever I do with the action of love. So everything has that metta within. So you speak, you act, you arise the thought. All these are accompanied with metta, love. So when you have this ability, you become beautiful. Yeah, continue. Yeah, very good. Mm.
With that, I realized no mark of myself.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah.
No mark of others.
Yes,
yeah,
very
I can see
important.
That
sadhu.
No
it's just a form of mind.
Yeah.
Dependent
yeah.
Originating, condition arising. There is no such thing as a being inside, which is very good. If at this stage you can understand this, you will progress very fast. Then later on in the Cameron Highland Retreat, you will progress a lot more this time. Last year you benefited so much. The first time you came, you were a totally different person after that. So this time is going to be a lot more different. 3rd of March after New Year will be the briefing. You come, I give you the notes, I brief you. Then this round we do it differently, the retreat. The emphasis is on cultivation, how to stabilize the daily mindfulness so that you can carry this back to your daily life. Good. Sadhu, continue.
There was one sitting at 10 o'clock a.m. Very clear the Dharma, how I see my five aggregates control my thoughts.
Sadhu, very good. Wow, Sadhu. Yeah.
And we don't have to get angry with others. That is five aggregates.
Yes,
so
yes,
they are not
not really what
aggregates.
You think. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
so
just the five.
Why we bother about
yes.
others? You know
yes.
why? You know. So I was
no
totally
reality.
At peace.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sadhu.
Yeah.
Wow, very good.
Yeah.
Sadhu,
I
rejoice.
I can see
sadhu.
That. And dependent
yes.
on origination.
Yes, yes.
How the
abhija.
You know, affect
stir
you
the
know,
mind.
Stir everything. Yeah.
Then create sankhara. Then how your perception, your views, your opinion, the input of the content of consciousness, you see it. Then you realize it's not you.
Yeah.
It's the wrong view. It's the self-delusion. Then you realize, hey, all this is not what people think. That's why that delusion, it will be rooted out. Then you will like overnight become so different. Like you say, you got so much peace after that. Because all these words that people say, all the sankhara creation, got no more meaning. They fail to deceive you anymore. The phenomenal world is just the phenomenal world of consciousness, no reality. And what is consciousness? It's thought. Arise and pass away. Arise and pass away. Impermanent. Non-self. Empty. That's why the emptiness is very powerful. Then the five aggregates of form and mind are empty. Wuyun, jie kong. Then heart sutta become clear. That's how Kuan Yin awakened. When he was cultivating the Prajnaparamita sutta, then he illuminated onto the five aggregates of form and mind and realized that they were all empty. Illuminate doesn't mean use the light to shine. Illuminate means with clarity of mind, it see clearly. That's why it awaken. And this is what the transformation is all about. No thought, it just awaken. Very good, sadhu, very choice, Adeline. Very, very good, sadhu. Continue.
And each time, the sitting at the Kuan Yin Hall there, the last time, the first Heart Sutta, Guan Zi Zai Pu Sa, was keep on appearing, the last three.
The chanting keep on coming.
The last three.
Sadhu, yeah.
But this time is like...
It's inside your heart.
Is the, how to say, Yuan Li Tian.
Mong Xiang.
This word come to me, and...
Very
important. I don't know. All the thoughts come, you know.
No, you will
how
understand
I suffer,
that. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because
you can relate
the,
because you saw them now.
The wrong livelihood.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's like I know what to do.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
how to live my life properly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
sadhu,
a lot
sadhu.
Of teaching.
Yeah. It keep on arising the Dhamma. Yeah.
And the Bodhisattva Wow just
all arise.
Yeah,
it will come back to
I
you.
I download the.
Yeah.
Bodhisattva Wow.
Very good.
Automatically, I take out my handphone.
I
make the Wow again.
Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah,
sadhu.
I did that twice.
Very good.
One was before the Uposatha Day.
Yeah.
And after that, I just feel that Uposatha Day, I have to make another Bodhisattva Wow.
Sadhu. Very good. Wow.
My faith
choice.
Is there. Very
yes,
strong.
Yes.
Yes. I know.
Otherwise, you cannot understand until this level. Very, very good.
Yes.
I rejoice. My nature really rejoice. Sadhu to you. Let's rejoice. Sadhu. That's why if you really have faith, things can happen. Very good. Continue, Adeline.
That's about it. Until today, I can see the mindfulness still good.
Yeah.
The clarity of mind still good.
Yeah, very good.
I forgot.
Yeah.
There was one sitting at the Kuan Yin Hall there. I was so still.
Ah, sadhu.
And it's like a empty. The whole thing is like a big.
Yeah.
Or a cocoon.
Yeah, cocoon.
I was sit there.
Yeah, I know.
Sit on the floor.
I know.
Kuan Yin Hall, I have to sit on the floor.
Correct.
There's no pain at
all. Yeah, nothing.
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 Emptiness.
Yeah.
But
it's just
I can
whole
hear
nature. Yeah, very clearly.
The senses
yes, very, very
can
clear.
Hear, but
yes.
No reaction, no thought, nothing.
It just arise, pass away. Arise, pass away. It's just the awareness that is aware of it. Like every moment aware. But no word inside. Within that great stillness, that tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the oneness. Everything within the phenomenal world, when they arise, that nature knows. That is the oneness, nature. Very beautiful.
Are we supposed to carry that state of mind in our daily life?
If you can, finally, when your mundane mind collapses, you will be in that state throughout the day.
Throughout the day.
Yeah. After the Monday mind collapse, not so far.
Yeah, I can see that.
That is the Bodhisatta. The Bodhisatta who has gone to very far cultivation. Then they realize the true mind. Then they can do the thought, support, trust. Silence everything and let the nature do its meditation. Then it will transform your internal. They call it nadis and chakra. So all this, it will become transformed. Transform means the pure energy. The yin and yang melt through the gateway, and this pure energy activate the nadis. Nadis are very small chakras, very small vibrating point within your physical body. Where this is like your nerve centers. The chakra are the major nerve centers. The nadis are the minor nerve center. They come from your life force that trigger off the vibration. That's why it causes them to vibrate. And scientists know that this is the parasympathetic nerve. And this is the one that is responsible for your emotion and everything. So when this one, the vibration transform, you become very different. You become very still, very peaceful, very calm. And you are not affected by fear and phobia anymore. All these things cannot affect you. Because your parasympathetic nerve is so different. The vibration becomes so still, so calm. Then the wisdom transforms you. So what happens is, when these things start to happen, the internal transformation will take place. Then after that, that vibration becomes so fine inside there, the mundane mind cannot stand the vibration. The mundane mind has to collapse. That's how the mundane mind collapse. That layer of consciousness, slowly from here, the brain here, you will go through that process, and finally, it like a layer of consciousness just drop off. That mundane consciousness just drop off. Because it cannot withstand the fine vibration. Then it drop off. After it drop off, that whole mind becomes so different. Well, without the mundane mind, there is like no more cloud. You understand or not? Oh, no more of those gross five aggregate of form and mind. The perception, the activity of mind, the mind state, everything just collapse. Then that true nature, that true mind just shine forth. Then when it shine forth, because it's so fine, it's like there is no mind at all. But if no mind, how can you know things? How can you perceive things? There is still a mind. So that one is a different mind. We call that the true mind, the supramundane mind. It's no more the mundane mind. That one is the direct seeing one, all the time aware one. No need to do anything. That thing just shine for. The mindfulness, the awareness just shine for. And you are throughout the day aware. Because there is no more doing, no more mundane mind. And like the cloud all disperse. That nature is so bright, so beautiful, so clear. It's just like that. Aware and nothing else. That's why you talk to people, nobody can understand you. Because this one is seldom developed by cultivator. Unless you go the Bodhisattva way, you cannot understand all this. Very good. Salute to you, Adeline. I rejoice. Yeah, very, very good. Salute. Anything else? You can add, don't worry, this is beautiful.
That's about all. Because we said the stillness, yeah. Once we're out from the meditation,
yeah.
When we begin to talk,
then gone. It will gone. It will be gone. Don't worry. Initially it's like that. But what is important is for you to go through. The moment you go through, the understanding is already there. Because you saw it through that silence, through that stillness. And this is what the two minds nature is all about. And you can have that glimpse because in the past you have cultivated before, but you forgot. Then this life you come because of affinity, you manage to connect back. In fact, last year was very important for you. And she really quite new, you know, basically. He only attended my March retreat program last year, less than 1 year, you know. And because of the faith and the understanding after the retreat, she became so different. That's why Garrett was full of joy. In fact, she got karmic obstruction also. 2 years ago, when Garrett attended the retreat, you know, towards the end of the retreat, he told me, you know, he kept on telling me, Brother Teo, if Adeline can be here, that is the best. I'm going to tell her to come next year, which was last year. Then he said, you got an operation that year. That's why coming obstruction. So this right young one also said, the leg fracture also coming up. But finally, because of the faith, he was very clear about her purpose, to prepare herself for this coming retreat. And I tell you, this coming retreat, like I mentioned a few times already, my nature knew a lot of Kayamita is going to develop the understanding and the transformation. You have the faith and you seriously just do. It is going to be very different. And all the thoughts that Dhamma is sharing, the way they come out, I tell you, you can never learn Dhamma so fast. Yeah. If you go through all the notes in the website, the short notes and all those things, I tell you, you will become very different when you go to the retreat. That's why prepare yourself. And this is the sasana where you can have all this condition, opportunity and understanding. So with this, I hope it gives you faith. Then we rejoice one more time with the good sharing by Adeline. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow. So this trip is so different. Yu-chan, you and Adeline, they all. Who else was there? Mimi and the son. And the other two is not our group one. Wow, sadhu. Very good. Wow. Then you all should thank Yun-chan. She is the one behind organizing all this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Daily mindfulness, I tell you, nothing else. That's why she knew daily mindfulness. Then she was able to do it until hardly any thought. Then when she did the meditation, just relax, silent, all these things will come. Then like she said, the Heart Sutra becomes so clear, the meaning. One zi cai pu sa. Straight away, all this come out. Then the Tian Tao one is about the inverted delusion. Because the mundane mind create inverted delusion. And because of that, you cannot see, you cannot understand. So all these are very, very profound understanding within the Heart Sutra. But before you see it in your meditation, in your awareness, in your silence, in your silent mind, stillness of mind, you cannot understand the true meaning. You cannot penetrate. But the moment you saw it in that meditative state, the awakening is different. That, like she said, you can see the five aggregate, how it stir your mind, how it condition you to become like that. Then when she understands herself, she understands why other human beings are so same. There is nobody inside there. They say there is no mark of a self there. Well, this is all dependent originating condition, right? You see, it's not knowledge. It's not word. It's really the Dhamma inside. That's why without the silent mind, you cannot understand. Without the daily mindfulness, the stillness of mind, you cannot understand. That is what meditation is all about. It's not about energy field and other things. It's about, you add something. Very good.
I brought the book, Who Am I?
Very good, the green book.
Sadhu. Each time afternoon sitting.
Yeah, you read them.
I read them.
Sadhu.
This is the first time I read, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Then second time, last time after the retreat, I read full of understanding.
Yeah.
Then this time, different understanding
completely
again.
Completely different again. Yeah. You will go deeper into another level.
At the end,
level.
I pass this book to the Brazilian.
Sadhu.
Then I say, I hope this,
because
she has a problem.
Yeah.
This is the girl I told you, sister have depression problem.
Oh, okay.
So I just felt that this book, if she can understand,
it can
so
help
much.
Her a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I pass the book to her.
Very good. Sadhu. You should rejoice. The other book is coming out, the 2013 on. My book on how to use mindfulness and heedfulness to overcome depression and life's problem. Mm. The transcript, I just completed it today. I think I will tidy it up, then I will send to Brother Tim to format the thing. Now I got a lot of backlog because they transcribe too fast. So many people do the transcript sent to me. I have to edit and I have to polish it. I need somebody to help me to take care of the language and all those things. Luckily, I got Brother Tim. Well, he also busy. I pity him though. I need him to help me do up the formatting. Then he create the content page. Then after that, when the book come out, you all can give to people. That one can help people understand how to apply the Buddha's teaching using mindfulness and heedfulness and the benefits of meditation to overcome depression, mental problem, human problem. Human suffering and all those things. That book was very good. Okay, so we should finally rejoice and share merits and transfer merit. We rejoice first. Sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed today. Then we will share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nirvana patiya sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Drupa Jam. Sadhu. Badang Pajami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, thank you.